on average, folks were seeing over $700 per head in some of the premiums that they were getting if a dairy farmer had a beef on dairy cross versus a purebred dairy calf.
From Virginia Farm Bureau, this is Cattle Pulse. It's May 2025, and I'm Elijah Griles in Richmond, Virginia. On this episode, we will explore whether the decrease in the percent of heifers on feed is an indicator of herd expansion. We'll also talk about the impacts of beef on dairy crossbreeding and reveal the latest record feeder cattle prices. Let's first take a look at our national feeder cattle futures contracts. The May contract is at $298.03 a hundredweight, up 7% from a month ago. The August contract is at $301.56 a hundredweight, up 6.4% from a month ago. The September contract is at $300.38 a hundredweight, up 6.2% from a month ago. As you can tell, the futures market is extremely strong, and part of the reason for this is that it has been buoyed by the recent trade deal news with the UK. On May 8th, the US announced that it had reached a trade deal with the United Kingdom, and a big part of this, when we look at the beef markets, is the change in beef export tariffs and allowances with the UK. So what the trade deal said is that US beef exports to the United Kingdom are currently subject to a 20% tariff within a quota of 1,000 metric tons. So what's going to happen is the United Kingdom will remove that 20% tariff, and they will also create a preferential duty-free quota of 13,000 metric tons for US beef. In return, we, the United States, are going to reallocate to the United Kingdom 13,000 metric tons of our existing other countries' tariff rate quota for beef. So essentially, while this does increase market access for US beef to the UK by removing that 20% tariff, as well as increasing the amount of tariff-free beef that can be imported into the UK, 13,000 metric tons isn't much in terms of our total trade. We exported 249,000 metric tons to our top beef export market of South Korea in 2023. So while this is the intended result of the tariff actions that the Trump administration has been taking, it doesn't materially change the export market access for US beef that's been lost to other countries like China, which we'll talk about a little bit later. As we unpack the feeder cattle futures contracts, we'd like to always take a look at our cattle on feed report. Our most recent cattle on feed report showed there were 11.6 million cattle on feed on April 1st of 2025. That's down 2% from last year, and this continues the trend of lower feedlot inventory since November of 2024. Our placements in March of 2025 were 1.84 million, which is actually 5% a year ago. And this is likely due to the very low placements we saw in February. Those were down 18% year over year, along with high prices pulling cattle forward, meaning producers are wanting to get those cattle on feed, get them sold because of the prices that are available for them. Ultimately, though, important to note is that placements in Q1 of 2025 are still down 4% from Q1 of 2024. Our marketings were 1.73 million head, and this is just 1% above a year ago. Very exciting and interesting to note in this month's report is we have our class on feed numbers, which is our share of steers versus heifers on feed. The heifer on feed number is at 38% of on-feed inventory. So while that's not a strong indicator of retention just yet, it is 1% lower than the April 2024 report and the January 2025 report. So we'd really need to see numbers in the mid to low 30s before we have strong indicators that producers are pulling heifers from the on-feed inventory and retaining them in order to expand their herds. But this is a trend that we're going to keep an eye on, especially as we move quarter by quarter through 2025. The big question, though, moving into the summer is, of course, I know you all are wondering, especially if you're in a drier part of the state, is will it rain? Although profitability is very strong, we'll talk more on that later at the end of the show, just because the dollars are flowing doesn't mean that the creeks will. Looking at our big picture, the top line item is that we have export demand headwinds. What does that mean? Well, the fundamentals of the beef cattle market are very bullish. There are tight cattle supplies, as we all know, low feed prices, relatively speaking, And as temperatures get warmer, it's grilling season. But it's worth noting that we are effectively losing right now, as of the recording of this episode, subject to change based on the most recent tariff announcement. But right now, we are losing our third largest export market in China. The week of April 17th, exports were just 190 metric tons. That's down 91% from the week prior. Generally, we expect that the strong fundamentals of the supply and demand situation will overshadow this impact, but we will see. Beef production does remain relatively stable, though, and American Farm Bureau economist Danny Munch tells us one clue as to why. I'm joined today by Danny Munch, who is an economist at the American Farm Bureau Federation. Thank you so much for being on the show today, Danny.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Elijah.
We're talking today about your market intel report, Beefing Up Dairy, The Rise of Crossbreeding. The leading statistic in your article is that 72% of U.S. dairy farms raise beef crosses. What does this look like practically, and how did we get here?
Since beef is so valuable, folks are looping in more beef genetics back into their herd. So it really is that story of technology where you had, you know, the separation of using a bull out with your herds to using artificial insemination. Then you had a bunch of extra males you didn't really need, and that kind of led to the use of sex semen. And then now it kind of looped back to now we can use beef semen on dairy herds and take advantage of some of those higher weight levels in a higher beef price market, as well as better marbling. They fit with the packers better. And a lot of this has really just stemmed off of where we are in the beef sector right now.
What share of annual beef production do dairy origin animals make up? And is this share actually increasing due to this trend?
Back in 2019, the estimation was about 18 to 24% of U.S. beef production was linked to beef on dairy crossbreeds. That number, I expect, is much higher now. Some of the other metrics that we can look at is the National Association of Animal Breeders. One of the metrics they use is the amount of, you know, beef semen sale units that they deliver and sell across the United States. So between 2010 and 2023, those have increased from 1.2 million units to 9.4 million units. And of those 9.4 million units, 7.9 million units were used in dairy cattle, and only 1.5 million were used in beef herds. So you can really take away that the bulk of that's going to dairy breeding. And once you link that into sort of the broader statistics of calf crop and other things, cattle facts did an estimation where back in 2014, they estimated 50,000 head of beef on dairy crosses, and now we're up to 3.22 million head of those crosses in 2024.
Wow, that is a really substantial increase. So how has this improved the bottom line of dairy farms? And what about their ability to expand their herds?
It's almost its form of risk management, where they can look at the beef market and say, well, you know, you can earn a pretty good buck off of, you know, adding some beef genetics into your heifers and then getting those crosses sold. And you can also look at the milk side of things. Obviously, if you put those genetics in your heifers, you're not going to be able to use those for the bulk of your milk production. So it's sort of this inherent hedge against future increases in milk supply, which actually, you know, helps bolster milk prices across the broader market. So, you know, obviously, yes, if you're really trying to take advantage of a high volume moment when milk prices are high, it's going to be more difficult if you've used more of your heifers for the beef crosses. But broadly, if the industry has switched a larger portion of their dairy heifers to breeding these crossbreeds, you're going to have a downward pressure on milk supply and an upward pressure on price. So you might inadvertently help, you know, have a better return on your milk markets and get some of that extra buck on your beef markets if those equilibriums work out pretty well. Obviously, we know with some of the outside situations with tariffs and everything, the milk markets and beef markets for in general, too, can see quite a bit of volatility. So, you know, there'll be an extra wrench thrown there. But it is interesting to see that this could kind of impact how dairy farmers usually react to market signals in the dairy industry and could change up some of the traditional changes in how they react to milk prices.
How can producers connect with your market intel reports?
fb.org/market intel. We have a team of five economists that works on all different issues. Some of it's breaking down complex legislative analysis that might impact farmers, basic, you know, market updates, as well as other sort of odds and ends of how folks might be impacted by different current events in the ag space.
Thank you so much for your time today, Danny.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
The link to Danny's market intel is in the show notes, and I would encourage you to look at that as well as more resources from American Farm Bureau. As we noted earlier in the show, high prices can't make the grass grow. It's time now for our weather and climate outlook.
The drought monitor does show that drought conditions continue across the state. 4% of the state in Northern Virginia is in severe drought, while 30% of the state through Northern Virginia and along the I-81 corridor is in moderate drought. The remainder of the western part of the state is abnormally dry, except for southwestern Virginia, which is normal, along with the central and eastern part of the state.
We have a warm May coming, at least says the NOAA Climate Prediction Center, which expects a 40 to 50% chance of above average temperatures statewide. Precipitation is a question mark, though, with equal chances of above or below precipitation across the state for the month. Now it's the moment you've all been waiting for, even though it's gotten very routine, to report that we have another record-setting month of feeder cattle auction prices. For those five-weight steers, medium and large one, in the month of April, Abingdon Tri-State saw an average of $350.80 a hundredweight, which is up 6.1% from a month ago. Blackstone was at $353.40 a hundredweight, which is up 10.4% from a month ago. Lynchburg was at $358.87 a hundredweight, up 7.8% from a month ago. Radiant was at $355.60 a hundredweight, up 9.4% from a month ago. Shenandoah Valley was at $353.07 a hundredweight, up 10.9% from a month ago. Winchester was at $363.57 a hundredweight, and you guessed it, up 8% from a month ago. That gives us a six market average of $355.89 a hundredweight, which is up 8.7% from a month ago. This is 21.5% above our average price for April of 2024 and absolutely crushes last month's record of $327.29 a hundredweight. I love to talk about this because I think it puts it in perspective. Our last cattle cycle high in June of 2015 set a record of $258.34 a hundredweight, which has the buying power of $346.20 a hundredweight today in the month of May 2025. So for the first time in this cattle cycle peak, our record price of $355.89 a hundredweight is actually higher than our previous record when adjusted for inflation. And that's important because it really talks about the buying power and profitability of these operations. Obviously, you all know that feed, fertilizer, and fuel, all these types of things have gone up so much since 2015, and you've seen just a lot of volatility. And so now that our prices are actually moving above inflation-adjusted levels, when we look at the past peaks in the cattle cycle, it means that this buying power increase could actually allow producers to begin thinking about expansion. Because when you think about expansion, you're not just thinking that prices are high. You're also saying, can I afford to spend the money to buy back in? Can I afford my inputs? All those types of things that you all think about on a daily basis. So this is good news that we actually are moving above that inflation adjusted level. It's really anyone's guess, but I will say moving to the end of April, it appeared that we had a lot of strength. And so pretty optimistic about our May markets. Would love to hear from you all as always. Please feel free to reach out to me at elijah.griles@vafb.com or 804-290-1713. Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Cattle Pulse. We look forward to talking to you next month.